The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
There are people who have incredible gifts. There are people who are way smarter than we are, Holly. There are people who just, everyone, there are people who just, every time they say yes, we are surprised. And I think as though this week is one of those weeks.
Ah, yes. I'm really excited for today's conversation because, again, it's another episode of Holly and Friends. Da, 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 da.
Holly and Friends.
Yeah, I need theme music for this.
You do.
So I'm excited, Sandy, that we were able to connect. We did, you have a podcast.
Yes.
And for Mother's Day last year, you so graciously invited me to be a part of your podcast. So it's only fitting that we have you on Why Me Project because you've got some exciting things going on. So thank you for saying yes and returning the favor.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here to chat with both of you.
What do I have to do to get on said podcast?
You know what? I'm merging the two that I started into one. So I will let you know, and then you can come on anytime.
Now, I feel as though is this a pity invite now because you felt as though you've done Holly and you're just like.
No, absolutely. Just knowing your name, Johnny Rocket, you have to be on just because of your name.
Yes.
All right.
There's a story there.
And that's what we'll talk about.
Hey, that's because about all I'm bringing to the table for you, Sandy. We like to ask this skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. And that is, who are you and where did you come from?
All right. Well, my name is Sandy McGregor, and I've been married to Duncan now for 28 years. We have 5 children, 2 boys, and they are 24, 23, and 3 girls, 20, oh my goodness, 16 and 13.
Wow.
And so if you kind of go, we live just outside of Toronto in the country, and we've been in the same place for about 14 years, and we attend church in Oakville. And I've been homeschooling for most of their schooling career up until grade 8, and then they kind of trek off to high school. So that's kind of where I'm at currently. And my early roots actually begin, believe it or not, in Edmonton.
Hey.
I was born in Edmonton.
Yes, I knew I liked you.
See, there's a bit of the West Coast girl here.
Yes.
So that's where my parents were. My dad was a pharmacist, and my mom was a teacher, and then they were called into ministry to Camps Crusade for Christ, which is now Power to Change. So they had a ministry mindset for a long time. They were missionaries in Africa for a little while, and my grandparents were also missionaries in Africa. And so that's kind of in my blood a little bit. But then they moved out to the West Coast, to Abbotsford, and that's where we had a really, really amazing childhood. Great church and ministry and friends and family. And then they decided to move us, which brought us here to Ontario, and it totally rocked my world. I'm like, why are we leaving British Columbia? Like, come on.
That's a really good question. I mean, it's nice and warm. You're by the ocean. It's beautiful. The mountains.
Yeah. So packed up that station wagon and 6 people all the way across the country.
Let me ask you this just about being a mom for a second. Did you and your husband have the conversation of 5 kids? Because I feel as though having 5 kids nowadays is, you know, my wife and I wanted 4. She wanted 3. We settled with 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're watching video, Sandy's adamantly shaking her head no.
Well, you know, it's funny because I knew I did want a lot of children. I remember even in high school for a writing assignment, writing about how I wanted like at least 4 kids. And I have 2 sisters and a brother. So it was normal. Lots of cousins. Yeah. But my husband has, there's 2 brothers. So for him, 2 was logical. So we ended up, we had 3 fairly quickly. And then that was when my husband's like, I think we're probably going to be done. And I thought, I'm not done. I knew I wasn't done. Anyway, so God knows what he's doing. But then we had 2 more girls after that. And of course, we wouldn't change anything. It was amazing. I knew that was going to happen. That was my hope. Yeah. But my husband wanted a little more time in between. Because the first 3 were, it can be tiring.
Oh, yeah. I only have 2, and I feel like I've aged 10 years in just 1.
Yes. Yeah, you look 21, Holly. Yeah.
Thank you. no, I don't.
What's interesting, though, is that, I mean, if your oldest is 24, your youngest is 13, and Holly and I have actually had this conversation as of late, because you're kind of where we are as parents in the sense that you have an older child, didn't really have the internet, didn't really have all of the social media things to now your youngest daughter is kind of where we are, where it's like, how do you navigate social media? How do you navigate those things?
Yes. When do you give them a phone?
Well, it's interesting thinking about my boys. Back in the day, the cereal box would have a CD for a video game. That was huge. Okay. Do you remember that?
About that.
Oh, yeah. So we would go to the store and get those Cheerios. Didn't matter how many boxes we had in the house, but we were getting those games. So they always enjoyed being on the computer and doing games. So that was, it wasn't a surprise to me that they were interested in video games and, you know, getting on the phone and different things like that. But now it's just commonplace. It's like the kids are born into it. They're born into looking at their phone as soon as possible and getting on the iPad as soon as possible. So we, I would say my husband would agree 100%. That was probably one of the hardest things to navigate when the phone first came out. My son was probably grade 8, grade 9, somewhere around there. And that was a big deal because we didn't know what we were doing. Yeah. I mean, we had Blackberries for a while.
Yeah.
And those are very different than an Apple phone.
Yeah.
So giving this device to a child who can't necessarily even maintain a regular social schedule, let alone because he was playing hockey in school and he was very busy, you can spiral really quickly because you can't stop. You have to be told how to stop. So we learned along the way, wow, parameters, guidelines, and we had to be willing for them to be angry at us, to be mad, to feel like they were the only ones who couldn't A, B, and C.
Yeah.
It was hard. And it still is hard in its own way. It's just now we're starting to go, okay, well, this is here forever. Yeah. We just have to learn to, when do you do it? What are your guidelines? And every family really has to set it out for themselves. How it works best. Is the phone in their room? What kind of apps do you have? Like it's exhausting. I'll be honest. It's exhausting. And it can be really hard in a marriage when if you're on one page and the other one's on another page. And so we really sat down to try to figure out how are we going to do this and do it well. And my husband will be the first person to say we did not do it well. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. Yeah.
It feels impossible in a lot of ways because I think of my daughter, and so she does dance, but we don't have a landline. So it's not like we could just skip that whole, just call the landline from the dance studio.
Yeah.
Like that's, it's almost like a safety linked for her to have that phone. She's also really good about setting her own parameters. She's better than I am. So maybe it's because she was introduced to it younger and me, I was in my 20s when cell phones were a thing. And that was like the flip one where you could only text. That wasn't the smartphone.
I like the flip ones. I miss the flip.
And they were so tiny. You could throw them in a
purse. You feel so cool, you know? Like.
Johnny's like, yes, in my purse.
There was less butt dialing, though. I will say that.
Oh, yes. Just
for the record.
Yeah.
Good point.
So then with five kids, and you said, why the homeschooling route? I mean, it was that obviously it seems like every homeschooler has their own reasons for it. Was it just because you had five kids and it was way cheaper to keep them at home than it was to ship them off with all new clothes?
Yeah,
that's a good point. Well, originally my intention, I ended up going to Trinity Western and studied elementary education. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. So, faith was always a part of my life. I'd become a Christian in my teens and was baptized in my teens. And so going to a university actually is a little unexpected. There's a couple little blips in my life that God was like, no, you're not going there. You're going here. I did not plan on going to BC. It wasn't until 3 weeks before school started that I woke up one day. I was at my friend's wedding. I was in her wedding party in BC. And it was like, the Lord's like, you're going to Trinity. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm actually going to Trent. Hold on a second. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So then I went home, told my parents, went to Trinity, changed my life. So thankful. So that was my teaching path. I always wanted to be a teacher. And then I went to Queens. Homeschooling wasn't even talked about. Alternative education would have been private school or like a Montessori or something like that. So homeschooling was not on the horizon. But I always knew I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have kids. But I also knew I wanted to teach. So I'm like, how would I navigate all of that? So I started teaching. Did some early elementary gigs and I loved it. But then we got pregnant and I realized I can't do both. At least I can't do both well right now. And I had thought, okay, maybe I'll figure it out later. So then we had another one and then I ended up staying home. Then we had another one and we had put them in Christian school and little like preschools and different things. But it was interesting because this one stage when one of my kids was in kind of like the JK, his transition was brutal. He could not adjust. It's a very long episode on it in itself, but it just was killing me, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I saw some people homeschooling, and I'm like, their life looks a little more calm. I was really stressed, and I just was not at peace. And then I started to have these thoughts in my head, should I bring them home? And I'm like, no. And Duncan's like, no, 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 no. No. So there was a hard no there. So it took a lot of time and a lot of prayer. So that when he was going through my son that was having just some challenges with school, it wasn't until the March break that I finally took him out. I couldn't take it anymore. And the school's like, what are you doing? I'm like, trust me, I got to do this. Within like 3 weeks, he was a different kid. The other one was still in school. And I thought, you know what? Why don't I just try it for a year? Let's just try it. So my husband's like, 1 year. He's like, 1 year.
Famous last words.
1 year. So my sister was homeschooling. Well, actually, it was great because she was like 20 minutes away. And then we met this great community of people. They walked me through, took me to conferences, helped me get curriculum. And then I realized I was actually really enjoying it. I was enjoying the fact that I had this opportunity to teach them. And then field trips became like the best thing ever. They loved it. So we just kind of started to get into a pattern, and it seemed to work for our family. But man, we were weird. People were like, what are you doing? I'm like, actually, I'm not really sure yet. I'm trying to figure it out. I just knew this is where God was calling us. And I didn't know if that meant for a year or 15 to 17 years. And that's kind of where we're at now. So
It's interesting too.
unexpected.
Because you said some people look at you a little oddly because homeschooling is, I mean, I know there's two, like I know homeschoolers who are so well adapted socially and just so brilliant and they just dominate. But I've also seen the other homeschoolers that are more timid in social settings and get overwhelmed. So on that social level, how did you and your husband navigate making sure that your kids could feel confident in social settings?
It's a great question because we were wondering how we were going to navigate it all, but it's really not an issue for me. I'm an up and out, let's go. Let's connect, let's get in groups, let's start groups, let's go. So we are very busy with hockey, church, and any sort of group that we could get involved with, we were involved with, and connecting with our neighbors and our friends and our family. So we were constantly busy. So I longed actually to be at home for those really precious hours where I was teaching them. We were doing the basics of math and then reading and science and doing science experiments and field trips. Like it was a good balance because then I felt when the boys were at hockey and eventually the girls with dance, we had a good routine at home so that they had a safe place to land. It was calm and they were able, and they all have different learning needs. And I learned too early as a teacher as well, like it's really hard for 30 kids to learn the same way at the same time and the same thing. So I felt like, okay, God, if you've called me to do this, you got to help me because this is going to be really hard. So I did. I had to come up with five different ways and different times to be able to navigate baby, toddler, preschooler, school age. But you know what? God is good. He just opened up doors and he gave me resources, and I was very thankful for community. Can't do it alone. You just cannot do it alone.
You talk about that you're good at connecting, and I mean, we talk about the fact that you love to teach. You're an incredible an encourager, a writer. So, did the move to do blogging, did that kind of just make sense, or did you somewhat fight that?
Well, it's funny because I have always been a journaler. I love writing. And early on, I did have a passion to write. I just didn't really know what that meant. But in high school, when you're writing, because you have to write, I lost my love for it. I didn't like it. Didn't like English class. It was hard. University, it was hard. So when I was at teacher's college, something kind of really, the creativity started to come out a little bit more. And I wanted to create books. And I wanted to create games. And I wanted to do curriculum for kids. I was excited about it. But that didn't really go anywhere. I had ideas. Publishers said no a million times, and you just kind of put things on the shelf and you just forget. And then I just started one day. I'm like, you know what? There's Blogger, and I want to document their days. And I loved photography and I loved writing. So I kind of thought, let's just do this together. It was for nobody else, but our family. And I just kind of documented our days. So I started writing. And that's, you don't realize, but that's how you're getting better every day. You're doing little bits and little bits, and you're writing in your journal. And I wasn't doing that on purpose. I was just trying to fill a need that I felt like I had, and I didn't know what to do with it because publishing a book or anything at that stage was an impossibility. Like it wasn't even on the table. It was on my bookshelf tucked away. So I'd write an idea down, Sadly, okay, tuck it away again. Okay, write an idea down, tuck it away. So, but God knew what he was doing. He was preparing me for something I had no idea what was coming, for sure.
You said something a little earlier on about well right now, and just listening to your story, that kind of seems to be a theme of your life. You couldn't write a book well right now, so I'm going to put my idea right here. When you hear the idea of well right now, what does that mean to you?
Well, I will tell you, it means you have to learn to wait and you have to be patient. And I had to learn to let things go. And it didn't mean I was letting it die, but I had to really, truly focus on what was in front of me. I have five kids in front of me. This is what you've called me to do, church ministry, wife, whatever it is. That was my immediate focus. And every time I tried to do something else, it was like God just kept saying, actually, I told you wait. And he would block it and block it. And I'm like, okay, so you just have to really release and let go. And that's what I felt like I did. I had to just let it go. So I just quietly would blog, quietly write, submit things to little magazines, just do little things here and there that I felt like I might be able to do. And then I had to wait and see what was around the corner, and I didn't know.
The waiting is the hardest.
Oh,
Oh my
it is
gosh.
hard. It's really hard
My
because you really
grandmother.
feel like your dreams are going to die.
Yeah. And my grandmother said about patience, if you, so she said, don't pray for patience. You'll get situations that will, make you have to learn and develop patience. And so that's waiting. And I just feel like so many of us are waiting and it's patience and it's hard. It's hard. What things do you do in those waiting seasons to not become impatient?
Oh, wow. If I didn't have people praying with me, great women's groups, ministry, my mom, my sisters, obviously my husband, you feel lost and you really feel alone. And obviously, I'm not going to deny the fact that you need to be in an amazing connection with God, and how that looks for you is different for everybody. And your devotional time, your Bible reading, but it's being surrounded by people. Otherwise, you just get lost in what you're mourning the loss of. Does that make sense?
No.
And then, but you have a life to live. You have to live it. So it was like getting up in the morning, feeding my kids, taking care of my kids, schooling my kids, driving my kids. And those things aren't less important. That was what God called me to do, and he still is calling me to do that right now. So I had to really, really make that the focus, not what I thought I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I had to wait,
There is
definitely.
a huge importance on devotionals, though, because I feel as though, I mean, we've talked with authors who've done, how to read the Bible in a year or how to read through certain things. But I think a lot of times to have a devotional in which you can do in the morning or sit down and do with somebody, there is that importance to it. And I felt as though you writing a devotional for, mother and sons and then mothers and daughters was kind of one of those things where we think about devotionals of us and God or us and our spouse, and not necessarily one where we connect with our children. Was that the kind of the purpose and the thoughts behind that? Was we as parents need to connect better with our kids?
Yes, 100%. And I think it goes almost back to the social media concept that we're so busy in our lives and we have so many distractions that we're forgetting to sit with our child, just to sit with them. And it doesn't mean you need to open up and read all of 176 verses in Psalm 119 in one moment. That's not the point. That's why I laughed. I'm like, God, why are you asking me to do this? It was quite a funny journey. I'm like, really? Like the longest prayer? Like what's going on here? That's another story too. But I just felt like everything I had done with my kids in kind of the early years, I bought the dollar store journals and we would write out verses or we just write different things out. They would do their art and I would be with them. And I don't remember finding anything that was like what I have out now that I could have used with my kids. And maybe there was, but I wasn't pursuing it like all the time, but I was doing certain things. So when it came to like 2019, when I started to think about what the Summer of Psalms was, what I felt the Lord was leading me to read. And when I got to Psalm 119, it was like he said, stop, you just got to stop. And then I just went crazy and studied it and I got to know it. And then the whole concept of doing this with my girls, because I was really focused on my girls at the time because the boys were a little bit older. And I'm like, well, how am I going to do this? So then I met with my mom and I just said, Mom, I want to learn more about you. I want to talk to you. So it became this really beautiful journey of connecting with my mom. And then the devotionals that I felt the Lord placed on my heart all were kind of woven with a piece of my mom in those devotionals. So it was like a mother-daughter thing for me, And then I was doing a mother-daughter thing with my girls. And I thought, well, what can I do for other moms? Maybe other moms want to do this. But again, I know people thought I was a little crazy. I thought I was crazy. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is crazy. But I had people come around me and support me. My sister-in-law was helping me with a website, and she was helping me begin the creative process of kind of compiling the devotional for the layout. And then, through a process of people that I had connected to, they'd suggested I send it off to Castle Key Books, and he said yes. I'm like, what? What? So that was fun.
Yeah, I love it. That's actually, I think, how we officially met was at the devotional launch for the Sons, Mother and
For
Sons.
the, yep.
Yes.
That's
And
right.
I think, like you were saying, we've got social media, everybody's running around. We've got dance and soccer and hockey. And I know for my daughters, the youngest, even though she's 8, she likes to journal. Now, her spelling's not awesome, so she's trying to keep it secret, but she's always asking us how to spell things. So we know exactly what's in her journal. But it's like they crave this intimacy with us and the ability to just pause and reflect because there's so much coming at them. And so I just thought it was such a fantastic idea because how many times you think about you lose someone you love and all the questions that you wished you'd asked them, there's not a lot that is there to help curate those kinds of conversations to create meaningful
So
connection.
true. Yeah, I actually thought about that too, that this becomes a keepsake. And I did have people say, well, why are you putting the journal in the devotional? Why don't you just get a separate journal? I said, no, it needs to be all together so you can put it on the shelf and keep it. And then when they're 20, you open it up and go, oh, we are 10. This is what you're thinking. So, and I would just put it out on the island for the girls, and I would just have the devotional there, and then they would just throughout the day kind of look at the question and write a couple words. And it wasn't like, let's sit down and do everything all at one time. I found it very fluid, and it didn't have to be in the same time frame that I have in the book. You can extend it as long as you want. You have to work whatever works for you.
So, are you doing it with each individual daughter, or you do it together as those three and you?
Well, initially, that's funny because when I had the first prototype that I just printed off because I didn't have a copy, I just put it out in a binder on the island. And so we did the three of them worked on the it was it's like a decent amount of space, but they didn't have to write a lot. Maybe that was good for them. Maybe they weren't as intimidating, right? To be able to write like 10 lines or something crazy. So they would write maybe one or two or three lines. And so really, if you have two kids, you could use one journal. You really could. But then you do have to know that what you say and what they say, the other people will see. So you have to make a decision if you would rather just keep it with you or if you want to make it for everybody,
So you go from writing devotionals where it's a connection thing to writing a children's book, which is, I think, going to be available on different platforms starting in about a month's time from now, end of April, beginning of May. How did that journey start?
Well, that was placed in my heart that was on the bookshelf for about 20 plus years. I had this idea. So when I was a little girl, I had a little white leather Bible. And so it's kind of not really, it's based on me, but not based on me. It's just the idea of a young girl with a Bible and asking big questions and very curious. So I had this idea and it went through many revisions. I had it like a mini novel to different characters, like you name it. So when I first presented it to the publisher, she said, it's a little long. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to go back and revamp. And then it was just like, I don't know, I can't explain it except it was a God moment. And I don't consider myself like poet or being a poet or something where I have to write something that rhymes, but it was just like the Lord went, this is what this book needs to be. It needs to be a beautiful, poetic book with beautiful illustrations that you sit down and you get cozy with your grandma, your grandpa, uncle, sister, parent, and you talk about the most important thing is the concept of heaven and salvation. And I thought, well, I've always wanted to do something like this, but I didn't know this was really going to be it. So it all just kind of overflowed and I wrote it out and then they helped me edit and an amazing team. And then I found an amazing illustrator that they had connected me to. And I said, here's what I'm thinking. And she just was like, I got you. She's like, I know what's going on here. So I was just overwhelmed with how it's kind of all come together. So.
Is there worry? I mean, for somebody who likes to see things to completion, and you start this, it's been sitting on the shelf for 20 years. Were you worried to have somebody else illustrate kind of your thoughts and ideas behind it, or were you just like, you know what, as everything else, I've given it to God, and obviously this is just one of those other things?
That's a really good question. Am I a control freak? I don't think so. But I
My way
did
of
have an
asking that
idea.
question.
You said it so much more kindly, though, Johnny.
I did have an idea. So, as a partner with the illustrator, she said, just keep sending me pictures. And so the grandmother in the book is based on my mom. And then
Oh,
the
okay.
girl is kind of loosely based on the three of my girls. And the dog is a dog that we had that passed away.
Aww.
So I have all these pictures. And so what I did is I went through each page and I just prayed about, okay, what do I see in this page for the illustrator to help her? Because it only will help her. So that's what I did. I went through each page and I said, here's what I'm thinking. Here's some photos. And she took the color palette and she took the picture of my mom and then the girls and just the out like specific outfits that I have memories of that I love that they so she morphed them into the one for the girl for Lucy. And so it was so beautiful to see. Like I will tell you, it was like Christmas times 100 when I got the first like pencil sketch. And then when you get the color, she did a beautiful watercolor. It's like she's an incredible artist. So yeah, that was exciting. So I didn't want to control the process, but yet I felt like there's a part of me that wanted to really just share what my heart was, if that makes sense.
Did and I mean, maybe you didn't even think about it, but was there a reason why it as grandma and not as mom?
Yes, I just feel there's this beautiful gift of wisdom with the grandparents and somebody who may not be your official grandparent, but who does know the Lord and who has a desire to reach the next generation. And I just really felt like it wasn't meant to be a parent in this book. And I did try that, and it was not working every time I would sit down and write it. So just the idea of, and just watching my mom too, with all of her grandkids, like 22 or 23 of them now. And she just, the way she would just calmly sit with them, just love them, just pray, just walk and talk. And so that represents to me what my mom did for all of the, for our kids and for her grandkids.
I love that. I think even in our conversation today, I've referenced my grandmother. Because there's just
It's
so
very
much
special.
wisdom. Yeah, it really is. I mean, this book is such a beautiful, I would say, offering to the next generation because that's, I've been hearing that we're in a pre-Christian world. And so a lot of kids don't even know. And heaven is this big question mark. What would your hope be when it, the book's released? It's getting into the hands of grandparents, parents, and kids. What's the vision for it next?
Well, I think my heart and vision behind it is just to make the conversation of heaven normal and that it doesn't have to be scary. It's not intimidating. You don't have to read through the entire book of Revelation with your child. You can just start the conversation, lay the foundation, point to scripture that I've included in the book, and then do a deep dive as you so see fit with each child. But it's really just sitting with them and assuring them of their salvation. Who are you putting your trust in? And here's what Christ has done for us. And you can know where you're going. You can know that you will be safe in heaven in the arms of Jesus. And I think that's the most important message we need to be sharing with our kids because this world is so unsettled. It's full of ups and downs and hills and valleys. And if I can't help ground them, where else are they going to find their footing and their foundation? So that's my hope is that it will really initiate wonderful conversation between the adult and the child, or even a sibling and a child.
You can be grounded and have a firm foundation, but you can still ask questions and questions like, why me? And this is the Why Me Project. And so I'm curious, as you reflect on your life and those valleys and mountaintop moments, is there a standout Why Me moment for you?
It makes me laugh because I can laugh about it now, but I wasn't laughing at the time. Just after I published the Mother-Daughter devotional and the world was starting to turn upside down, that 2020, 2021,
Yes.
we just had a puppy. And I fell and broke my ankle. And so our world turned completely upside down. And a lot of husbands were at home, But my husband was in the food industry and he was at work every day. My girls were home and my boys were still at school and working, so they weren't home. So it was just us. And I was in bed, completely taken away from being the active doing anything mom. I could do nothing. And my surgery was pushed back because of the whole system was in chaos. So I was in bed with a broken ankle for a very long time. Couldn't walk on it, couldn't do anything. I felt like, what am I doing? I'm just sitting. I'm not just a sit in the bed all day kind of person. So it was, why is this happening to me? This is crazy. So it was a really tough time. But I do look back and I see how God just used people who would come to the door because they couldn't come inside, but they would bring us food. They brought us meals and they brought us cards or gifts and they would, and then I saw this really beautiful thing with my girls. They had to rise to the occasion. My oldest daughter became basically the mom. Out she would go grocery shopping, helping, cooking, cleaning, like you name it. I had to literally learn to just sit back and go, okay, I have to let this happen. I have to heal. I can't do anything about it. So I will say I was having those why me moments. It was hard. I was really upset and it was painful. But God really used those moments for me to just be with him and to slow down, do the homeschooling on my bed, let them do things, let them take over raising this new crazy puppy, which I don't recommend if you're going to break your ankle. But yeah, so that was tough. But you know, the second devotional did start. I knew I wanted to do something for mothers and sons. So that was also an opportunity for me to start to dig in a little bit, think about what the next one might look like too.
You had nowhere else to go.
Yeah,
Well, what else
right.
were
I didn't.
Might as well keep writing.
I was stuck. I
Yeah.
was looking out a window.
Oh, I would go stir crazy for sure.
Yeah, it was tough. It was
Yeah,
tough.
no.
Look
Yeah,
back on
no.
it now, and we all were going stir crazy.
That's
Yes.
true. Oh, what a season.
Yes. Oh
Yeah.
my goodness.
I'm glad it's
Can I
behind
take
me. Yeah.
it to heaven? The pre-order will be available in a couple weeks. SandyMcGregor.com. It's SandyEE
Yes.
McGregor.com at Sandy.McGregor on the Insta. Appreciate you taking some time and sharing your heart with us today.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to meet both of you and chat. Thank you.
I do love the focus on a mother-son, mother-daughter devotion because, and I wasn't even thinking the keepsake variety, but now I'm like, yeah, I want to do it just because you would then have those memories.
Yeah, honestly, with like my marketing brain, I was thinking, well, of course, I have two daughters. That's two books. I mean, the
Yeah.
sales goes up.
Do you have seven daughters? Do you need to connect with all seven of your daughters?
Buy five, get two for free.
Yeah, right.
Oh my goodness. But what an opportunity for us in this day and age just to create
Yeah.
memories and to share our hearts and to have real life, authentic conversations because I feel like they are so needed. I mean, my daughter's eight and she loves it. We have before bed devotions and conversations,
Yeah.
and I get so much out of them. It's amazing just to see how their little brains are working. So I love this tool.
Can I tell you something that my
Yeah.
son told me the other day?
Will he be okay
So
with you sharing it?
this is going inside baseball.
Okay.
When I tuck my kids in at night, like I stuff the blankets in it, like I tuck them in, like cocoon, tuck in, you're not moving.
Yeah. Now is that
Haven't
because
done it.
safety or like you didn't
Because
want them
we
to
can't
fall out
afford
of bed?
heat. We can't afford heat, and then this way it keeps all the warm air inside.
There you
I
go.
haven't done it to my kids now in years.
Yeah.
And so the other day, my son's going to bed and he's 14. Like he's like, "Good night, Dad. See you later." And I
Yeah.
go into his bed and I try to tuck him in. And he looks at me dead in the face. "Dad, I don't like that. Stop it." I'm like, "But I did this as a kid." He goes, "I never liked it. Don't do it." Well, this whole time I'm thinking, I'm the greatest dad. I'm tucking in my kids. He loves it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You need a father-son devotional.
Yeah,
Yeah.
or therapy. One of the two, because all these things that I thought, I mean, my daughter's still like, "Yeah, go ahead, dad. You're fine. Tuck
Yeah.
me in, throw some blankets on me."
Yeah.
My son, no, not
No.
having it.
No. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry, Johnny.
It's all good. Anyways, but this is a great opportunity to connect with devotions and your kids and faith. And you could leave the tucking in parts, and just explore ways to grow your relationships in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. And then also on the personal side, I do appreciate the what can I do well right now?
Yeah.
It's a really great takeaway. I think it also allows me, when I think of that phrase, just to say, okay, it's okay for me to say no. Like, if I can't do it well right now, then maybe right now is not the right time. And
yeah,
it's not
good.
The next right step. So,
yeah,
you know, what can you do well right now? Those are the things to say yes to. And just the rest is okay. You just have to wait.
Yeah. So we talked about social media. The thing that we didn't talk about social media is that you need to connect with us and follow us on all the socials, whether it's Instagram or the Twitter or YouTube, wherever we are.
Yes.
Just come and connect with us. Get your kids' phones. Connect their phones to us, too.
And shout outs to our friends in Ukraine, as we were on the Ukraine charts for Christian podcasts 2 weeks ago. So
Madagascar, we had Taiwan.
I mean, this is we've gone international, thanks to you.
Yeah, so if you see us doing a trip, you'll know why.
Yes.
Top 1,000.
Yes.
Get on the social media train now. Before we go way up.
Yeah, to 999.
Anyways, don't forget, you can also check out faithstrongtoday.com.